Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we're going to be tonight. And we're going to look at verse number 8 in just the one verse tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. If you're physically able, would you mind standing? We'll show our public respect for the scriptures and look at this verse. I love verse number 8 because it's a summary verse. The other night we looked at 1 Corinthians 13:13, which summarizes something that had been taught. Ephesians 5:8 does the same thing. Look at what the Bible says. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Would you mind reading it with me? I'll give the reference, and then you just jump in with me. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hey, we're going to try it one more time, but here's the rule. You're not allowed to read like a robot. You guys read it like you're reading it all together. Instead of giving, obviously, we're reading together, so you have to stay in cadence. But if you read like a robot, you'll be asked to leave the church, and you'll not be allowed back in for 3 weeks, all right? Let me give the reference and then read it with me. Here we go, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Father, I love you. Thank you for the time we could spend together tonight. Please, dear God, allow this time not to be in any way wasted, but may it have impact that will cause there to be a change of direction, a change of action, a change of mindset for many who have gathered together here tonight. And then, Lord, as a result of this time, may eternity be affected. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask these things. Amen. Thanks for standing. Please be seated. So I'd like to start tonight with a parable. And this is not a parable from the Bible. This is a Tim Thompson parable. And this parable starts down in the southern part of Florida near Miami, where a young man and his wife, they've been married for just a couple of years, have found out that they're going to be expecting their first child. And they are very excited about their first child being born. Well, the dad gets especially excited when he finds out, or they find out, that the child they're going to be having is a boy. And the reason why he's so excited about having a boy is because he is a lover of football. He loves football, and he's thinking to himself, my son will be able to love football as well. And specifically, because of where he lives and where he grew up, he loves the Miami Dolphins. So he's thinking to himself, my son will not only love football, but he'll love the Miami Dolphins, and that'll make at least two fans that the Miami Dolphins have. So he's excited about having a son. So the days come closer where his son is going to be born. The wife goes into the hospital. She has the son. When they bring the son home from the hospital, they bring him home to a room that has been decorated not by the mother, but by the father. And it is decorated in Miami Dolphins everything. Paraphernalia all over the place for the Miami Dolphins. The walls are Miami Dolphins colors. There's border that goes around the wall that's Miami Dolphins border. The crib sheets, Miami Dolphins crib sheets. There's a football that's a Miami Dolphins football in the crib along with a pillow. On the desk or on the dresser is a helmet that's a Miami Dolphins helmet. And the diapers that they have are Miami Dolphins diapers. I mean, there's Miami Dolphins everything. This kid has no hope but to love the Miami Dolphins. Well, as the kid grows a little bit older, they name him Johnny. And as Johnny grows a little bit older, Johnny really does take a shining to football. Maybe because of spending so much time with Dad and Dad's love of football. But they watch football together. And on occasion, they'll go to games together when the Miami Dolphins are playing in town and they can get tickets. So this boy, Johnny, grows up just loving football and loving the Miami Dolphins. When he's old enough to start playing Pop Warner football, Little League football, he jumps in when they're still playing flag football. And Johnny really does, I mean, for a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, Johnny does really, really well. When all of the other kids are just kind of gathering around wherever the ball is, that's where they are, Johnny seems to be aware of how the game is played, even at 6 and 7 years of age. Well, as he grows a little bit older and starts playing in more competitive leagues, Johnny is just better than the rest of the kids. He has natural ability. He's quick for his age. And his spatial awareness of the field and what's going on is really something that most kids at that age don't have. Gets into the 6th and 7th grade, starts playing for middle school, and Johnny's better than everybody else. He's quick side to side. He's fast up and down the field. He's a running back and a kickoff and punt returner. And Johnny is just, I mean, just leagues above everybody else that he plays against. Gets into high school, and as a ninth grader, he starts for the varsity team. And Johnny, even in high school as a ninth grader, is still faster than most of the other people on the field and just, again, has an awareness. By the time he's in 10th grade, he has scouts from colleges coming to watch Johnny play, and Johnny is turning everybody's head. They just cannot believe how good Johnny is. Graduates from high school, goes 3 years to a college, and then after 3 years, Johnny enters the NFL draft. And Johnny's greatest dream is realized. When he is taken in the first round of the draft by the Miami Dolphins, the team that he loves, his hometown. And Johnny enters the NFL, and as good as Johnny has been all the way through his career, it just seems like at every level, he steps it up one more gear. And even in the NFL, in his first season, Johnny is so good. He's a running back, kickoff punt returner. By the end of his first year, the punters are kicking it away from Johnny, kicking it out of bounds because of how many times Johnny could run the ball back down the field. He was just so quick, side to side, fast. If he gets a block, he is through, and you're not going to catch Johnny. He is good, good, very good. Now, the Miami Dolphins are not good. I mean, in reality and in my story, the Miami Dolphins are not good, but Johnny is. And very quickly, Johnny becomes the face of the team. If you drive through Miami, you're going to see Johnny's face on billboards and wearing the Miami Dolphins helmet. And everybody comes to watch Johnny play because of the electrifying running that Johnny can do. People come and watch Johnny play, and everybody in Miami loves Johnny. And anybody who is a Miami Dolphins fan loves Johnny because he is so good. And for 7 years, Johnny plays for the Miami Dolphins. Every year, he avoids injury, and Johnny is good, good, very good. Well, after 7 years of playing for the Miami Dolphins, the Dolphins have some money issues, and they have to cut back some players. And they don't want to do it, but because of their money issues and looking forward to the future of the team, they end up trading Johnny from the Miami Dolphins to the New England Patriots. In my story, a much better team. Football is football, so Johnny moves up to the Northeast, and he trains with the New England Patriots, and then comes the first game of his season with the New England Patriots. And so Johnny lines up with his heels on the goal line, and he looks across the field, and they are playing, the New England Patriots are playing none other than the Miami Dolphins, first game. So now he's looking at his blockers, who are now the New England Patriots, and he's looking across the field at his old teammates, the Miami Dolphins. But again, football is football. So the whistle sounds, and the ball is kicked. Johnny takes one step back into the end zone, receives the ball, and then it is locked and load. Johnny takes off down the field. He gets a couple of blocks through the first line of defenders that come against him. Johnny squeezes through, and then Johnny turns on the afterburners and takes off down the field. He cuts left. He cuts right. He has nobody to beat but the kicker, and who can't beat a kicker? So he jukes the kicker, goes around him, and then takes off. He has daylight and the end zone in front of him, and Johnny's off to the races. If you're in the stadium, you could hear the speaker yelling out, he's at the 30, he's at the 25, he's at the 20, he could go all the way. Johnny gets down to the 10-yard line, and from the Miami Dolphins sideline, Johnny hears a very familiar voice yell out, Johnny, stop! And on the 2-yard line, Johnny stops on a dime. It's the coach from the Miami Dolphins. And the coach yells, turn around, run the other way. Well, for 7 years, that is the voice that he listened to. So Johnny spins around and begins running in the opposite direction. Well, now it is the New England Patriots trying to tackle Johnny, and the Miami Dolphins are blocking, and Johnny is cutting left and cutting right and zooming down the field and coming back around, and Johnny makes it all the way back to the other end of the field where he started the run. He takes the football, slams it down in celebration, which, if you don't know, is a fumble, and the Miami Dolphins recover it in their own end zone to start the game off with a 6-point lead and a touchdown. Well, Johnny's feeling pretty proud of himself. He just ran 198 yards for a touchdown. And he comes jogging over to the New England Patriots sideline where the coach is there to meet him. The headphones that the coach usually wears are 40 yards down the field where he threw them. There is spittle dripping off of his chin, and his face is beat red. The only thing redder are his eyes. And Johnny comes trotting up, and the coach grabs Johnny by the shoulder pads and says, "Johnny, what are you thinking? You're not a Miami Dolphin anymore. You're a New England Patriot. You don't wear their jersey. You wear our jersey. You don't follow their blockers. You follow our blockers. You don't run to their end zone. You run to our end zone. Now go sit down." And Johnny turns and jogs over to the bench and sits down and thinks to himself, "Well, what was that all about?" All right. Now, the story that I've told you is not a true story, and it should never happen in the NFL. However, it's a story that illustrates the idea of what Ephesians 5:8 is teaching. In Ephesians 5:8, the Apostle Paul, in summarizing what he has been teaching a group of believers, says this: "Look, you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord." And then he gives the instruction where he says, "Walk, live as children of light." In other words, live like what you are. You used to be in darkness. That is, it used to be that you didn't understand certain things. You didn't get how bad sin is and what sin brings. You didn't understand the work of the death of Christ. Maybe the blood didn't make sense to you. Maybe you didn't get that Christ's death was for you and that it was your only hope. Maybe you thought you had to do something in order to get to God. You were in the dark as to the truth about the work of God through Christ. But now you're light in the Lord. In other words, now it makes sense. Now you know. Now you understand some things that you did not before. You were sometimes darkness. Now you're light in the Lord. He says, now as a result of that, walk as children of light. Okay, now I think everybody here knows this, or most everybody does. You're old enough to understand and mature enough to think through this. When the Bible talks about walking as a child of light, it's talking about living out, walk, make decisions, step by step, choice by choice. Your life is made up of the choices that you make, correct? Okay, so that life is not made up of dreams, desires, wishes, and wants. Life is made up of choices. Let's say I'm up here and I tell you, hey, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. And we're about to read. And before we read, I fall over on the ground. I shake around a little bit, and I just stop. And you look at me, and you think to yourself, is Brother Tim, like, is this an illustration? What is this? And all of a sudden, through the back doors, or coming down the hallway, a 16-year-old girl comes, and she says, "Hey, everybody hold still. Stop, 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 stop. I have always wanted to be a heart surgeon. It's been my dream and my desire to be a heart surgeon. It looks like to me Brother Tim has had a heart attack. I'm going to come check on him." And she comes up, 16-year-old girl comes, kicks me over, looks down at me and says, "Yep, looks like he's had a heart attack. I'm doing surgery. Anybody have a knife, a scalpel, a chainsaw, an axe, anything like that so that I can do surgery?" Well, at this point, I miraculously revive and head out the back door. Why? Well, because if I can help it, no 16-year-old girl is going to do heart surgery on me. If she wants to do heart surgery on me, she's going to have to go to school and make great grades. And then go to college for like 12 years and do really well in college and then work with another heart surgeon, and then do surgery on all of you. And if you live, then she can do heart surgery on me. Well, you say, Brother Tim, why? Well, because her wanting to be a heart surgeon, as sincere as her want may be, doesn't make it so. It is choices that lead to where you end up. It's daily choices. Okay, so when the Bible talks about walking, it's talking about making choices on a regular basis. And here's in essence what Ephesians 5:8 is telling us. It's this. It's saying, look, you used to be in darkness. You used to live a certain way. You didn't get how bad sin was. You didn't understand the work of Christ. You didn't know it was for you. But now you're light in the Lord. Now you've trusted Christ. Now things are different. Walk. Make your choices now as a child of God. In other words, you used to be a Miami Dolphin, but now you're a New England Patriot. Live like it. Run like it. Act like it. Let your life and the choices you make be determined by the team that you are on. And in essence, that's what Ephesians 5:8 is teaching. Now, stay with me for a second. Some of you are thinking to yourself right now, Brother Tim, I already know this. This is like elementary. This is from a long time ago. This is stuff that is already set. And you'd be in part right that this is elementary. But here's what I'm going to tell you. And what we're going to look at in this passage, some of it is going to sound to you like, Brother Tim, please don't waste our time. I already know this. But there is a portion of the passage that we're going to learn from here in just a little bit. That when you hear it, it's going to be something that may be different than what you know. And when I understood what the Bible was saying, what I'm going to share with you, when I understood it, a light bulb went on for me that has been absolutely life-altering for me. And I want to share it with you. And that's exactly what I'm going to do for those that I'm privileged to preach to tomorrow morning in Sunday school. So tomorrow morning in Sunday school, for those who are part of the Sunday school class, we're going to learn the rest of what this passage is about and learn a lesson that has been so good for me. Know this. You were sometimes darkness. Now you're light in the Lord. Hey, walk as a child of light. How does that happen? This is where the value is. This is where the lesson is learned. It is so important, so good. For those of you who are not in the Sunday school classes that I'll be privileged to teach in, then you can maybe hear it. I don't know if they record it or whatever. But the truth, not me, but the truth is worth your hearing. So I hope you'll get it. All right? Let's pray. And our time we finish tonight, you can go home and get some sleep. And then tomorrow morning we will meet. All right? You guys aren't offended, are you? Well, get over it. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Help us, please, to learn. Let us learn the truth that is true, it is basic, but it is different than our minds naturally think. And it really does need to be driven into our heart, our mind, and our conscience so that we can get what this is all about. So, Lord, help us, please, to learn it. And I pray that you'd help us to get good rest tonight, to be ready to receive what you have for us tomorrow morning. May your name be uplifted and praised in and through our lives in a very special way. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.